Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. I am the Eye of Agamotto. Welcome back to our sixth show of the year, 2015. That is 69 episodes in all.
69?
Is yeah, 69. That's actually kind of
pretty okay with that.
Yeah, it's actually
feels right.
Wonderfully appropriate. Like,
feels good. Like we planned it all.
It's
along.
As if we like somehow accidentally planned for episode 69 to
this
be like
started before Deadpool was even officially confirmed.
Oh my god, have we been doing this show that long?
I think so.
Oh my god, I need a beer.
This is my 1 year anniversary of guesting on that couch.
That's right.
On the 12th of February last year.
Wow. All the numbers are adding up.
I was on that couch at 69, 1 year anniversary, Deadpool. I'm just saying.
Wow, this is like a planetary conjunction of
something. Yeah, everything's aligned.
Wow, okay.
It's almost like Doc Ock was there to like change the planet.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, 69.
If you don't know what that's all about, you should go check out the Geek and Sundry where we did a live script reading with Hector Navarro, Whitney Moore, and Amy Dolan.
You're welcome.
And it was gorgeous. Anyway, we are the Marvel Movie News coming to you live from the Chimichanga truck.
Yeah.
I also thought, what about Weapon X or Department K? Would you prefer Chimichanga truck?
Ooh,
where are we coming from today?
Let's go Weapon X. I think because we're about to be birthed into a world where Deadpool exists.
Okay.
This is the last time I will ever host this show not having seen Deadpool. So Weapon X.
Wow. This is...
I'm ignorant to Deadpool right now. Never again will I not know what that film is.
Yep.
My life will forever change in 6 hours.
It's like me with Doctor Strange. I get
very
it. Okay. So let me start that over. We are the Marvel News. We are the Marvel Movie News coming to you live from Weapon X facilities with Dr. Killer. No, Killer. Sorry, I'm getting off track. Where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through the Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or on Facebook /Marvel News Show. And guys, if you tweet the link to our show with a message telling people about the live chat and how you can come and join in and ask questions, Doom in the booth will retweet you!
Doom is in the chat roll and on Twitter.
Anyway, I'm Matt Key, at the Matt Key. We've got Coy over here. What's your Twitter?
At Coyjandro, C-O-Y-J-A-N-D-R-E-A-U.
We had a couple of guests lined up today, but they are busy professionals, so they couldn't make it in. Meredith is also a busy professional today. So you just got the two of us, except for, we've got two Marvelite heralds, as recommended to us by Darren.
Yes.
We've got two fan heralds, Skylar McKelvey and Marissa Harris.
Woo!
You guys are from Denver.
Yes.
You're both looking to move to the Los Angeles area.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Why don't you guys give us a rundown on what it's like to be Skylar and Marissa?
Well,
it's awesome.
Basically.
I'm a writer and do a lot of geek work at my website, which is bigbravesky.com. I've written about this show there, so
fans of the
show will probably enjoy that.
And that's bigbravesky?
Yes, sir.
.com?
Yes.
It's not .gov?
.com.
.com, all right.
And I'm also at bigbravesky on Twitter, so.
Nice. Fantastic.
He actually just came out with an ebook that he refuses to talk about.
I did.
Oh, come on, man. You got to be proud of that. That's my biggest problem, too.
Like, yeah. I've got a Kindle book. It's called Be Brave, Short Stories, Essays, and a Poem by Skylar McKelvey.
That's fantastic, man.
Goes on sale at the end of the month, so check that out if you're interested. It'll be a little cheaper than usual. And,
That's awesome. That's congratulations on getting all that done. And Marissa, I've heard rumors that you are an actress. Is this, have I heard correctly?
That is very true, actually.
Yeah.
To be in action movies, yeah, I'll be trying to get some stunt work under my belt before and as soon as I get out here.
Great, and you guys are moving out here in the summer, yeah?
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that works out for you, and if we can be of any help, please let us know. Because I've lived in Los Angeles for 12 years, I think.
Twice me, man. Six for me this year. Six last month.
Phew. Wow. Look at us.
Everything's
old men.
Old city.
Oh, welcome to 30.
Ryan Bondi. Cary Grant was walking down the street on Sunset.
God, what? It's so funny. I was in, like, I think it was at the Arc Light the other day, and I saw, like, a celebrity walk by. I can't even remember it, because it just... It really does happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Out here.
I just get excited when it's comic related.
Yeah.
And then I name
No, I'm the same.
I get yelled at.
I'm the same.
I get really excited.
God, I wish I could remember who it was. Anyway, so
I get more excited to talk comics with people that have any relation to the world of comic film than about anything else. Like,
oh,
Michael Jordan could walk by and be like, he plays
good
basketball.
You know who I did meet on doing Fan Man on Batman the other day? Mm-hmm. David Dostmalchian.
Oh, I worked with him in Rises.
He came on and he's epic.
Yeah, he's a really cool
epic.
Dude.
That episode actually comes out tomorrow night, and then part two where he talks about Ant-Man comes out on
awesome.
Monday.
I only did 3 days on that movie, but he was on two of them. He was a very sweet man. Really,
oh, he,
really cool
he
actor.
He was amazing, and he said he would come in and do our show sometime.
Sick.
So, anyway, let's jump into the Marvel news. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
We're going to start with the X-Men Apocalypse trailer. I don't know if you guys know about this, but there was this little thing over the weekend called the Super Bowl.
Sportsing.
Didn't catch it. Which is sad because your team... Was playing.
We won.
But congratulations, by the way. I don't know that you care that much. You don't seem to. X-Men Apocalypse dropped an epic, awesome,
so good,
incredible trailer. We have. I pulled some of my favorite images. And by the way, guys, I know some of like our fans here are trying to stay away from like watching trailers. There might be like some light spoiler talk if you're trying to get away from spoilers. And not watch trailers, but I promise it's really not gonna ruin the movie. I promise it's not spoilers like that. Anyway, how did you cheer when Psylocke slides through the car? Because I
got real excited.
I very literally elicited an oh my god.
It
like we were like I was watching the game at my friend Roger Craig Smith's house, and the X-Men Apocalypse trailer comes on, and I'm like, oh my god, I totally forgot that this movie's coming out. This is all there's trailers.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Oh my god, Psylocke! Like,
it was only 30 seconds.
Sorry, that was loud, but.
And 5 seconds of it were that magic. And, like,
yeah.
I literally, the game was probably the most boring Super Bowl I ever watched.
Yeah, it was a pretty boring game.
It was a
game.
Very
like,
not
congrats
a game.
To the Broncos.
Good.
But,
I like football, especially the Super Bowl, but for some reason that game just did not. Anyway, this trailer, though, was the opposite of that game. In 30 seconds, it condensed more action and excitement and didn't show too much.
Yeah.
And that's how a trailer should be. I mean, I it's not like the Vision reveal where in Avengers where I felt like I'd lost something because I'd seen it. This feels like a great way to introduce a character people are worried about.
Yeah.
She's clearly been training all of her Instagram sword. Did you see the tying into Deadpool?
Yeah.
Did you see the Psylocke and
the
Olivia
balloon,
Munn?
The balloon sword. Boop.
There's a great 15-second Instagram video of Olivia Munn like doing all this fancy
and
sword.
She's
work.
A badass.
She looks awesome.
Oh my god.
And then
like
Ryan
she's...
Reynolds just like comes in and like boops her with an inflatable sword.
Like you can almost hear him go boop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
like,
funny.
And that's
great. You can find it online. Yeah.
We're building that world and I'm so excited.
Do you like how I just told the kids that they can find something online?
Yeah.
You guys can find that online.
I mean,
I don't know if you've heard of it. I don't know if you've heard of it. There's this thing called the internet.
The world.
Let me tell you
web.
About it. Yeah. We had the Psylocke thing. Doom, why don't you just roll us? Oh my, that's still.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've already seen that shot of Apocalypse like holding down Xavier.
Still exciting, man.
It's still like one of my favorite
images. It's a comic image. Like that's a shot
well,
from
it's,
a comic.
It, not only is it such a comic image, but it's such a great reveal of Apocalypse's power and that they're keeping that power set intact. Unless it's like a dream sequence, which it very well could be since Xavier's like walking around. I don't know. Like
man,
I don't know if he's
in a wheelchair.
But that's the thing. Like he can take that like medication or whatever that like takes away his telepathy. I know. I'm not a big fan of it either. But it's either that, so
if
he's not telepathic.
If you do heroin, you can walk. Why would you do heroin and walk? Why is there a heroin parallel in my X-Men movie? What world does exist where it's like, oh, you lose your psychic powers but you can walk? It doesn't make sense in any universe. Even in a comic movie.
I just like to pretend that it's mutant growth hormone. That's what I'm like, well,
but
they're stealing from like some of the more
powers. He does. It's not in GH.
I know.
He can walk. What? No. Leg growth hormone.
Leg growth hormone.
Too bad he has to express some rage.
Exactly.
Wow, you really do.
Because I love that movie, except for like that's a major point of contention.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that and like Beast being able to transform kind
of
bothered
me. All
of
the transformations.
Like, if he had like a visual inhibitor, like a visual sort of thing, like what Nightcrawler had
right.
when he first came out. all about. I am all about that. But like, it's weird that he's like, I'm like the Hulk, but Beast. And her,
X-Men,
like, what?
Are known for being people that are different and need to cope with their differences. And then they make the two that are struggling able to negate them. Like, Xavier's cool because it makes people feel that are disabled or in any way altered that can't do certain things, that they're heroic and they have as much power or more powers than anyone else. You don't make him walk. You don't make someone like the Morlocks are supposed to be underground and they, like, you know, you can identify people that don't feel like they look right or don't feel like, you know, they can do things other people can. You don't make them beautiful. You don't. That is sacrilege. You do not mess up my ass.
Skip. All right. Looks
great.
No, it looks amazing.
A good movie.
Deadpool's so, day, guys. We also saw, like, our first shot of not like our first shot, but like a really good shot of Jean Grey, Cyclops, and Nightcrawler. I just fell in love with it because they look legitimately terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh man, we are not prepared for this. Like, we are so screwed here. And I just like that because it makes the stakes so high.
Right.
Because you've got Apocalypse. With, like, I don't know how strong they're going to make Apocalypse or Archangel, but Storm and Magneto, like, at their highest, like, they could both destroy the world, I think.
Right, well, absolutely, 100%.
You know, like, one of my favorite X-Men comics was the one where they had, Doom kidnap Storm and, like, imprisoned her.
Yeah.
And, like, she just lost her mind and, like...
the claustrophobia and her whole...
Like, her claustrophobia, and she just, like, lashed out at the world, and the whole world was like... We don't know what's going on, and like the mutants, the X-Men are like, what do we do? Like, that's one of my favorites. So like, she's hyper powerful. Magneto's hyper powerful. Then you've got Jean Grey, who's like an Omega level mutant, but she doesn't know how to control her powers. Cyclops is powerful, but he's nowhere. Like,
he's not that level, and he's not that world, especially untrained. I mean, he can't
exactly. And Nightcrawler is the same. So there's a lot of X-Men who are more like a B level.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome powers. I like them. They're amazing. Like, Nightcrawler is one of my top five of all time. But, like, really, like, his power isn't going to destroy the world unless he can find a way to bamf it away from the sun, which he can't.
No.
So, I'm going to bamf the whole world, like, 70 miles that way.
Like,
So, but, like, I just like, that raises the stakes so high that they're like, here's these at least three mutants who we can't beat, and they've teamed up. And now got to beat them. Like, that's what I see when I see that picture. Exactly.
Those team-up films are supposed to be that. And, like, the fact that they're having, like, 19 X-Men in this movie means you have to make the stakes that high to rationalize it and rationalize introducing that many characters.
But what that ends up doing is creating, like, this sort of, like, it creates a narrative where the team has to be them. Like, the team has to be greater than the whole of them.
And I will give Bryan Singer a lot of credit. He's good at teams.
Oh, he's fantastic. Like, I'm so excited. And then, we've got like a cool shot of like Magneto just like kind of hovering the air with like, you know, all the metal going around him. Which is just a cool shot. But it doesn't really say anything except that he's like, he can do what he's done in all the other movies.
Magneto.
Yeah, but he's like, it just looks cool.
So cool.
I had to show it.
All the visuals are great.
Okay. This one I want to talk about. Angel has wings. We know we've got Archangel. We've seen Archangel.
Now we know we have Angel.
But we have Angel.
Right. So
I'm excited to see the transformation. And it looks, I mean, in this shot, he's fighting Beast.
Right.
So he's already,
he starts back,
at least I think he's fighting Beast. So he already starts kind of not with the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that he gets his metal knife throwing wings.
Right. He goes to Archangel. I love Angel. I love the arc of Archangel. I love the idea of someone so wholesome as to be literally an angel visually.
Yeah.
Becoming like a mercenary. Like, so I'm really excited to see how they handle that character. And him being such an unknown is really exciting for me.
Hey, Voice of Doom, you were telling me before the show that Angel's actually one of your favorite characters. Do you have any opinions on on that shot?
I mean, it looks gorgeous. That's really all I can say about it. Is it just the wings look visually stunning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited to see. I mean, we got a little bit of that in the early movies, but this is just like the detail, even on this blurry freeze frame that we've got, looks awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be, I'm so excited for it. And then I think we've got one last shot, and that shows Cyclops really fully using his optic blasts.
Yeah,
like,
I love that kid, man. That actor's great.
What's his name?
Well, I knew it until you asked.
I know, put you on the spot. I had it like right before the show too.
Yeah, whenever he's in something, I watch it because I think he's great, and I'm really glad he's Cyclops because I think he's going to handle it well. What is his name?
Like, I want to say Ben McKenzie, but I know that's not it.
That's not it. That good actor.
Yeah.
That we like.
Yeah. Hey, Coy, move closer to your mic. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. We just got a note from Doom to move closer to your mic. So yeah, that's it for X-Men Apocalypse. Unless you guys are not watching the trailers, right?
Trying to go in unsullied.
Okay. Yes. Do you have any thoughts based on what we've just talked about, or anything that you want to ask us? No.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm so super excited. I can't wait.
The last one was incredible, so yeah.
Yeah, really, okay, fair enough. I do want to point out, I don't think Psylocke has ever created a psychic blade that can cut through cars.
I think of it as being more of a mental...
It's more of a mental thing, yeah. So like the fact that she can like manifest that sword, mm-hmm, and cut through a car... I'll let it pass.
I'll allow it. It looks great. I think that was a 30-second trailer, and we just had a great 5-minute discussion about it. That's how jam-packed it was. That's how you do a Super Bowl trailer. I'm really excited. Positive for me.
And we'll be talking about the Civil War trailer. Don't worry, guys. We're going to get to it. But first, I want to give a very quick shout-out to J.J. Johnson, who just tweeted at us that he got cast as Reuben last night in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Awesome, man.
So,
really cool.
And not only that, he's seeing Deadpool tonight. So he's having a very good day.
Making good
today. Anyway, congratulations, JJ. That's really cool. So let's jump to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Volume 2. We have a new official logo for it that I think is really fun. And we'll be showing that in a second. But what I like about it is that it has like this sort of like 80s riffic, like Volume 2,
mm-hmm,
like added into it. Like,
yeah.
What's that show? The cartoon, no, it's Comedy Central, I think. The one that's, oh my, Moonbeam City.
Yes.
Like, it reminds me of, like, that Volume, yes, 2 is like, it's, it. You know what it reminds me of? That movie Rad. The one about the BMX bikes. And the, like,
dude,
83,
the
84.
Is my jam, man.
That is so what that is. I'm like, so excited.
I,
like,
can hear the saxophone and some synths. I mean,
yeah,
all
like,
that.
Like, the fact that, like, I got all of that just from that font choice.
Right.
I'm so excited for, like, I'm even more excited for this movie just because of that stupid font. Like,
I can't get over how much Guardians excited. The fact that Guardians was so good that I see the back of a chair and I get excited. The fact,
yeah,
that a back of a chair fills me with such glee. Like,
yeah,
we live in a magical world.
Yeah. So, Guardians, there's no Thanos in it. James Gunn said, no, he's not in the film. There's no sadness. There's no sadness that he didn't choose Thanos. I chose to tell the story in Volume 2 because it's a story I wanted to tell. It just happens to not include Thanos. So, no Thanos. I'm sorry. If you were, like, excited to see more Thanos, my guess is that we might see a little bit more Thanos in Thor, Ragnarok, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm, we'll probably need to see him, like, one more time before we get to Infinity. We might see him in Captain Marvel. Does Captain Marvel come?
I'm a little confused.
I think that actually comes out second.
She'll be intro, and then, yeah.
So James Gunn was asked on Facebook. He did like a Facebook Q&A earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And a fan asked him when the next, like, big announcement's going to be, and like when we'll know about the cast and everything. And his answer was next week, I believe, or at least most of them, talking about the cast.
Right.
So we'll have like an official cast list within the next couple weeks, it's looking like. So maybe,
cool,
we'll be talking about that next Thursday.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And that's it for Guardians. That's it. I'm moving through it so we can get to Deadpool just for you.
You know, I'm hanging out. I'm excited. That's the back of the chair. We had something to talk about. Good looking back of the chair.
Hey, yep, it's back of the chair.
Nice looking back of the chair.
Talking about a lot.
Big news week, guys.
Thor Ragnarok, we're not going to talk about this. I just want to acknowledge that there was a rumor of a particular character's death in Thor Ragnarok.
Mm.
It's a character that's been mentioned a couple other times in different ways. We're not going to touch it because it is a big spoiler.
If it's real. I don't even know what you're talking about. I like it, but I don't know.
But I do want to acknowledge that news did come out. If you were the kind of fan who wants to know that stuff, I retweeted it earlier today. I believe it broke on Heroic Hollywood. And I know Comic Book Movie and comicbook.com both covered it. So you can go to any of those sites and check that out. Captain America Civil War. Let's move on.
Let's
move on. I mean,
I have one thing to say on Thor Ragnarok.
Scooby-Doo.
In Green Lantern, the director of Thor Ragnarok appears as a character.
What?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Taika Waititi?
Is in Green Lantern. Do you remember the scene where he's like, I have this green power suit, and he goes like, and it doesn't appear? He's like trying to get it to work?
Yeah.
That's to him. He's
no
in the
way.
Movie.
What role was he?
He was like the friend. He was like Hal Jordan's bro. Like, and that's, he's now directing Thor Ragnarok.
Wow.
Isn't that funny how small the world is?
Oh my god.
I just wanted to point that out.
That's awesome. All right. Well, you just killed Captain Marvel, dude. What's your problem?
Sorry,
what,
lady.
Why don't you like Captain Marvel? She's an amazing character.
It's delicious.
Well, you can't eat it.
We're moving on to Civil War.
All right, fine. Skip it a boop. Skip it about myself. You should have scattered at me. there's another rumor that we're not going to talk about, but I do want to acknowledge, especially because our wonderful co-host, Meredith Placco, who's on assignment today, wrote about it on geek.com, mm-hmm. where there's another character who is dying. And the rumor for Captain America Civil War. We're not going to talk about it because we don't want to upset our fans. It is a big enough spoiler that I don't even want to put it out there. But again, we did tweet about it. If you're the kind of fan who wants to go look at that stuff. I've read both of those articles, so I know the stuff. If you want to ask me questions, feel free to. And I will do my best to tweet back at you regarding those. Either one of those rumors. But let's talk about the Super Bowl trailer that came out for Civil War. You want to do that?
I think we should.
First of all, let me say, my favorite part of the whole trailer, and again, ears, I don't know if like, but the watch.
Oh, dude, that moment was so exciting. That moment was so great.
When he's like...
It was so Iron Man.
But here's why I like it. That one shot shows the entire stakes of the film.
Because it's that.
He puts it on.
Yep.
Bucky's got a gun. Bucky shoots Stark and the gauntlet catches it. But the look on Stark's face, on Robert Downey Jr.'s face,
dude.
He sells that so well. Like, look at that. Like, look at his face. He's just like, oh, you actually shot at me.
Yeah.
Point blank to my head. You actually shot at me. Like, if I hadn't had this gauntlet,
that would be me dead.
I would be
now,
dead.
What does that mean about Winter Soldier's state of mind? What does that mean about the war?
No,
like, there's so many questions.
I know. And that's what's so wonderful about that trailer is that it gives you just enough to go up to the edge of WTF.
We still know nothing. We just have more questions, which is a trailer.
That's the way it should be done. Now, Marvel and Disney love to, like, 3 weeks out of the film's release, left to cram everything down our throats. We'll probably know like a good three quarters of the film going in if we watch every trailer, but which is why I will not, and you're smart to stay away and everything else. But again, we have some fans who love that stuff.
And seeing the lineup in that trailer was so exciting.
Oh my god, yeah. Doom, can we jump to one of the two lineups? That was the other cheerworthy moment, like when they're like, boom, boom, here's this lineup. Boom, boom, here's...
Yeah.
And, like, in this shot right here, we see War Machine and Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
And we see Black Widow, we see Black Widow and Black Panther.
Yep.
But then Vision, he's just like, what's up, I'm Vision.
I love that there's, like a powerhouse team and a team of, like, scrappy.
There's a scrapper team and the... Well, and even on the powerhouse team, they've got Black Widow, who is... She's a badass.
Right.
She is... But she's not Vision.
Right. Like, it's
you know,
insane.
She doesn't have superpowers like all these other guys. Well, Stark and War Machine don't have superpowers, but their suits are...
Right.
Like,
there's
ants.
A certain
so,
level
like,
of power. And you know, Ant-Man's new mask looks awesome.
Oh, man. Like, and just seeing Ant-Man in the lineup, he looks so out of... Like, wonderfully out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone else is like, hey, here's my face. And
I
then he's got, like, a helmet. And he like it
oh,
looks like
I'm
there's
a superhero?
An, there's an element that looks kind of silly and out of place, but like wonderfully so.
Yeah, I think it works.
Where he's like, yeah, I'm the outcast. Like all these other guys are seasoned soldiers, and we've also got a witch, like,
right?
And
this is
the
thing.
Here I am in my suit. But what's funny is that he's probably one of the most powerful ones.
If he uses
he's probably one of the most powerful ones on that team because of what he can do and how he can escape and run around. Like
He took down Falcon. I want to say my favorite part of the trailer is what it didn't include, and I'd like to thank Disney for not having Spider-Man in it.
I agree.
I was so afraid they'd use the Super Bowl because it's their big market, their big push, their big exposure to be like, and remember, and then show it, and I was so afraid of accidentally.
Skylar Marissa, you're right. You're right. You're right to applaud that.
I think
guys.
It was very smart to not go with that move. It would have been a great exposure. It would have been a great way to show the suit, but I'm so glad they didn't. I want to wait until May. I don't want to see it until
we're
in the room.
You know what I loved about what they did with Age of Ultron? And I think it was that second trailer where they're like, that was the one where you see for the first time that amazing epic shot of all of them where Hulk comes in and you know you see the whole team behind him. That trailer ended with the close-up of Vision's eyes and, like, the drum sting.
Right.
And you see Vision's eyes just, like, wake up. That was the perfect way to show Vision.
Right, and I'm
like
okay with
like
that.
Like, 2 or 3 weeks later when they're like, here's a Vision's birth scene. And she's like, okay, that was awesome to watch. Thank you. But I wanted to wait until the movie. Like,
all of Age of Ultron, I was just piecing together scenes from the trailers. Yeah, I was exactly. just watching what I'd already seen, and I was so disappointed. So yeah, that's why so, I'm excited this is not.
Not to go back to that, but like if they did something like that in this trailer and left that alone, like,
yeah.
Like, if you just see, like, Spider-Man, like, swing through the frame, like, super fast, just...
That'd be okay. I just don't want to see the costume. I don't want to see Spider-Man!
Yeah. Same with Giant-Man. Like, I really honestly think Giant-Man's going to be in this scene. I think where we see Ant-Man right here, Scott Lang, I really think in this airport scene, we're like...
Yeah.
I really do. And I think in the next trailer, we will see...
See, that'd be less
of
a reveal, because it's the same suit, it's the same guy, yeah. and everyone knows he can become that, even though a few weeks ago I got in trouble for announcing it. But everyone knows he can become Giant Man, so I'd rather have that as a reveal than Spider-Man. I really want to keep Spider-Man as under wraps as possible.
Yeah, and I think that would be, like, an epic moment that would get, like audiences that aren't, like, that are mainstream, I guess you would say, like...
Yeah.
Like, not like, typical comic book fans like us. I think that would be a thing that they would see and be like... Oh, I've got to see that now. Like, that. What are they even doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that's a little bit more something they can show than the Spider-Man. I agree with you.
I can tell you, as a huge comic book Ant-Man fan, if we see Giant-Man, you will hear the squee of doom.
Squee of doom.
The squee of doom. Yes.
But I'm proud of Disney, because you know what they say.
With great power... responsibility.
That's true.
You're so stupid.
That's true. It's all true.
Now, one thing that I'm curious about is where they show Bucky, like, and he's got, like, he's in, like, that containment chamber.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Like, is he in containment? Does he need to?
He's recharging his iPod.
So, like, he's like a Borg. Like, he has to go back to his charging station. Okay.
It looked very iPod charging to me, but I was okay with it.
Yeah, no, I'm
just curious.
I'm definitely not dissing on it in any capacity. I think dissing is still a thing that people say,
the,
right?
The kids,
am I too
kids
old?
On the
am
street?
I too old?
Yeah,
am I showing my age
get
by saying dissing? Get off my lawn, you DC fans. By the way,
Batman versus Superman trailer looks so good.
That trailer today,
yeah, dude,
that was awesome.
That, like, 20 seconds of Batman just whooping ass.
Yeah.
No, it's an A word.
I can say that.
It looks so good.
No, that's the trailer that the second one should have been.
Yeah, it looks incredible. I'm so excited.
Like, the second trailer had some good moments in it, but like that,
I've been defending Batfleck for a long time. That trailer's finally, like, I can point to that and be like, I was saying good things.
Yeah. So we don't want to talk too. This is Marvel movie news.
It's true, but it's a very exciting trailer.
That did look awesome. All right. Well, let's skibbity bop on. Yeah. What do you say? What do you say?
I'm into it.
Oh, do you want to talk about the Coke Mini thing? The Coke Mini with the Hulk
and Ant-Man?
That was fun.
It's expensive. My God.
No,
can
but
you imagine how much that would cost to
No, but here's... But listen to the genius of this. And Turkish Airlines did the same thing with DC. Turkish Airlines fronted that bill.
Yeah.
Coke, they fronted that bill. And both Civil War and Dawn of Justice got a free trailer out of it. Like, maybe
That's
there was a partnership.
Man.
Maybe
yeah.
there was a bit of a partnership. But, like, they had to pay for the licensing, or they had to make some sort of deal to use those characters to get that sort of, like, panache behind that brand.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant move.
Yeah, like, I mean, part of me is like, ah, they sold out. But, like, it's a giant corporation. I can't really be mad at one corporation selling out to another corporation.
Yeah,
but
when both corporations are probably owned by the same
person
or collection of people.
Yeah.
Or, like, two best friends
who
are like, I own Coke, I own Disney, shake hands.
Yeah.
Like, we're best friends.
Just throwing commas around in the bank accounts.
Yeah.
But I really thought it was handled funnily. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really entertaining.
Funnily?
Like a funnel cake, but the verb.
Huh. I don't think anything that you just said is a thing.
I'm just making it up as I go. It's Deadpool Day.
By the way, Charles Lee at Goofy Fan Chuck said new hashtag Squee of Doom. Hashtag Squee of Doom. Love it. Love it. How to say it. Let's move on to Daredevil real quick. This one slipped under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a new sort of like promo. Like, okay. Not really a trailer. It was a bit of a promo. Did you guys see this at all?
Was that with his glasses?
No, that was the Italian Twitter last week. There's a new one for the Chinese New Year, and it just shows like Daredevil standing on a roof, and kind of like standing up on a roof. It's like one of those like motion poster kind of things that Netflix loves to do. He just kind of like stands up on a roof, and you kind of have like some fireworks going off behind him. I can't remember the exact quote. That it has something to do like all your debts have come due or something like that. I think we're pulling the image up now. But then at the very, very end, you have John Bernthal as the Punisher. You don't see him. You just hear him go, bang.
That's back again? Awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this. This is exciting.
I just, oh my God, I love hearing him say bang. Because, no, and here's why. Because it shows how like merciless and cold-blooded he is, because he says it so, not like jovial, but like very lightly. He's just like, I'm going to kill you. Bang. Like, that's just the way it happens. I'm sorry. Like, Scooby-Doo, here we go.
He does that's scat. Punisher say. Is known for scatting.
You know, Punisher scat singing.
It's a whole thing.
He does his thing.
That's next month, man.
Dude, I know.
That's like...
I know. I guarantee you we see a trailer by the end of February.
Oh, I think so. We should. And I hope it's as subtle and not revealing as they have been so far. Because they know the audience. They know they have a... The first did so well, and they know there's going to be more with Jessica Jones. Like, they're just layering up. They don't need to give us anything. They just... Yeah. Daredevil Season 2. Okay, Netflix, 13 hours.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah,
so done. Please keep not showing me things.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all I ask.
I agree. I totally agree. I
want to go into it as blind as Matt Murdock. Let me do that. That's what I want.
You want to watch the show with radar sense?
I'll enjoy it much more than knowing everything I've seen.
You know that there's the only thing you'll be able to do is hear it and maybe feel vibrations in the floor,
so
right?
So I'll be like, very excited about him saying bang. I'll just be like, whoa, that was good.
Whoa, that was a very good pronunciation of bang.
But I'm really glad that I know so little going into it. And that last teaser, we've talked about a bunch of times, the Michelangelo art style, like, that was amazing. I want more of
it's
that.
It's perfect because it's more of a tonal thing. It's like, here is the tone. We understand the tone. Right. Here it is.
And Deadpool's doing the same. I think if people start paying attention to Netflix and in this case Deadpool's great marketing, and we can have marketing go forward like that, then I think movies will do just as well.
Yep.
I think we'll be just as excited, and then both fanboys and the consumer can be happy, because we won't sacrifice the integrity of the comic, the film, or the ad in going into it, and we'll just enjoy the experience. And that's what I want, because I'm bummed about Age of Ultron. Still, it's been 2 years or whatever, and I'm still sad about knowing everything.
It's only a year.
It feels like 2 years of sadness. I just want to go into things more blindly, and I think they can accomplish that with things like this Deadpool, where you have a character inventing new ads and then showing the same 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, before we leave Marvel Studios, listening to this message, Mitchell Smith at MitchBeth2005 says, wondering what you guys think of Maestro as a fourth act villain for closing, for our closing thoughts. We're going to address it now, Mitchell. Maestro, I mean, the Hulk from like Imperfect. I don't know. Like, it's a cool idea. It's a really cool idea but
the Avengers have fought Hulk a lot, so it'd be cool to have like, you know, that tear between like Bruce Banner.
Well, and
Hulk.
You know, if the rumors are true that he's learning how to talk and everything, like Hulk is becoming more like Banner, like fully becoming Hulk now, like fully just like allowing it. It could tie together. I don't know. I don't know that he's a strong enough villain for an entire other phase.
I think it'd be great for like a big movie, maybe not a whole phase, but it'd be great to have like that underlying, have him as the Thanos and have him just show up and move stuff.
Yeah.
And then have him, you know, at the end be the big bad. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
He's
how do you guys feel about
anonymous
that?
Anonymous in gray. He's anonymous in green. So it's a step.
Well, and with a giant white beard, cool, and man. He's like, and he's hyper intelligent. He's like in full control of his faculties.
Right. And he's not an autonomous gray army like we've had twice. Yeah. So I'd be okay with it. It'd be different.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about taking a hero and making him a bad guy in a film.
Yeah.
You know, think, like, right? What?
Please.
Maybe as a villain it would be different, but as a hero it's so hard to imagine the character without the struggle between Banner and Hulk. I think that's really what makes him interesting.
I think that's what would make him a villain, though, if he accepted the darkness.
Yeah, I guess
like,
that's true.
Why he's
that's
a villain
why he's
at that
fighting
point.
It this whole
so
time.
So he fights it. You have a legacy character you've loved, you've built up, and then every punch counts twice. Because you're feeling for Banner, you're feeling for the impact of his punches, you're feeling for the impact of the one throwing the punches. Everyone's hurting. It's like Civil War, but on a grander scale, because it's a hero you care it's about, not heroes point. You care about. Yeah. And then the intelligence makes it even more painful, because he's making the choices intelligently.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I'd go with it.
Touché.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on it, but I do. The idea of it is intriguing to me.
Yeah, no, it's certainly intriguing.
It's intriguing, and I think Marvel could sell it to me. But I'm just not on board.
Okay,
I'm not on board.
But you are.
All right. Well, there you go, Mitchell. You created a civil war with us.
I don't know what these people think, but I'm on board.
All right. Well, let's jump over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a little show that's on ABC.
Oh, heard of it?
Yeah, you've heard of it. Do you guys watch it?
No.
All right, fair. That's fair. you're like most of America, I think. Doom, you want to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? There's nothing to talk about because it's not on. But they did just announce that the title for their return episode, I believe sometime in March, is titled Bouncing Back. And the summary for that episode is, in the aftermath of his trip to Maveth, Coulson is more determined than ever to get to Gideon Malik and put an end to Hydra once and for all. Daisy and the team encounter more Inhumans who have powers like they've never seen before, but will they be friends or enemies of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
This sounds good to me. This is the Secret Warriors premise we were promised. I know, summer.
Right? Like, finally, we're getting Secret Warriors.
They said slow burn, but this is slow, the slowest.
Well, and what's funny about S.H.I.E.L.D. is that, like, in a lot of ways, they don't hold their punches. In some ways, in terms of like the narrative, like. If like it's like, no, we'll go there. We're gonna kill that character. Like that character, like that character dying makes sense. We're gonna do that now.
Yeah,
you know, like they're not afraid to do that. But for whatever reason, it's like, oh, we're gonna do Secret Warriors
later
next year. Like in like 17 episodes, Secret Warriors.
I think what happened was they teased it at the end of season 2, and then they got back in the room for season 3 and realized they had a story that was that should happen before Secret Warriors and lead up to it, and it wasn't going to be until a mid-season thing. So
yeah.
they'd already basically said Secret Warriors in the season 2 finale. So they had to at least tease it for the fans who knew it was coming.
Well, and I also think it's maybe like a bit of a budgetary thing too, because like showing all those powers every single week is going to get expensive. So like, you know, like we know that a lot of times like what a TV show will do is they'll have like 2 or 3 somewhat like cheaper episodes in a row on purpose so they can afford
have more money for the big,
you know, it'll be like, no, we need like $100,000 budget for every single episode, but we're going to use $50,000 so we can put another $50,000 towards this big episode.
Yeah.
So,
I like the fly episode in Breaking Bad, super divisive, but I think that's one of the better episodes of the show because they had to keep it contained. I love bottle episodes when they do
done well.
Test the writer, test the director, boom, make some art. But yeah, you know, when you don't do it right, it's like,
yeah, no, like I think one of the most brilliant episodes of television I've ever seen is bottle episode in Doctor Who, where he was stuck on a train like on another planet and he couldn't get off.
One second.
And this alien, God, I wish I could remember it. This alien was outside of it, and the only way the alien could inhabit them was to repeat like what they were saying. So like it inhabits, like, so like inhabits you and then you just start repeating everything that I'm saying. And it sounds ridiculous.
But it works.
But
you do it right.
It was terrifying. It was like, what do they want? Well, oh my God, stop it. Like, oh my God. Like, it's. And it was a bottle episode.
And
it all took place on a train.
So big that you could totally have a bottle episode and have little like throwaways to this idea, and you could build the universe a little bit more, have a conversation. I mean, like, Kevin Smith built an entire career off of brilliant writing and conversation in a small. I'd love if shows did that more.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Maybe we'll see that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know. But.
the one thing I can say I'm looking forward to. They say all these with Inhumans with powers we've never seen before. We've been calling for it. I want Eldrak.
Oh my God, the door? That would be amazing.
There's
an Inhuman who is literally a door. Like they walked into the Terrigen Mists, and when they came out of the Terrigen Mists, they were a giant archway. And their name was Eldrak, and his power is that he can send you anywhere. Is it in the universe? I think it's in the universe that you need to be. So, like,
that's pretty sweet.
If you like, if I were to hear like my fiance's in trouble and she's, I'm like, I've got to get to her and save her. She's on Neptune. I could walk through Eldrak and get to Neptune. You know, so that would actually be really cool to see. Oh my God, Inhumans could become doors?
That's a really cool concept. I like it. Because you feel for the character that's now trapped as a door, but he's so useful.
He can't move. Like,
yeah.
He can't move.
But he's useful to everyone else, but then his life is a door.
And there's like something that's kind of sacred about that character, because his like sacrifice is to be this thing that people need.
Yeah.
And like, but to give up his life in a lot of ways, you know?
Cool.
Like,
that's a smart character.
But it also kind of goes along with the. Sort of way that Inhuman culture is sort of like stratified and how it works with the Terrigen Mists, like answering the need of the society as a whole.
Right.
So it's like, oh, you know what? We need a really powerful leader who can decimate cities right now. Black Bolt.
Gotta do it.
But then there are other times where it's like, you know what? We need someone who's really good at air traffic control.
Yeah.
Like, it's all important. Someone comes out of the Terrigen mist with like orange hands. They're like, oh, I can land people.
This is my life now, but you know,
I can land the flyers
for the better,
you know,
of my people.
Yep. So, there, I mean, I've always thought that was like a but really cool aspect.
I'm sure if the door just injected heroin, he'd be fine.
Oh my god.
He can walk again.
Are we going to
just gonna do some heroin?
We skibbity bopped. We skibbity bopped past that, man. Doom, I know you want to talk about this. Agent Carter with Haley Atwell signed on to a new ABC pilot.
Yeah. I mean, in the interest of skibbity bop, let's skip past the episode recap.
Hashtag in the interest of skibbity bop.
I mean, this was a great. This episode was great this week, but. Not a lot to talk about with such a little time. The big news was that Haley Atwell was cast in a pilot called
Conviction,
which is from Liz Friedman, who is the showrunner of, I believe the showrunner, the executive producer at least, of Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
But it's with ABC, so ABC is fully aware of her potential commitment or lack thereof to an Agent Carter season 3. They're saying that she is potentially able to do both. If the pilot was to get picked up as a limited series.
Yeah.
But everyone's pretty much saying this is their way of trying to keep her on the ABC roster because they know they're going to cancel Agent Carter.
Yeah. Which I would hate to see that happen because Agent Carter's been a lot of fun. It's been a bit, little bit looser this season than I think last season was. Not in a bad way, just like in a...
Yeah.
I prefer a little bit more of the tightness of last season than this season in terms of like each episode's narrative.
TV's hard, man. It's such a broad...
It is. But it's still a fun show. It's still, like, they're kind of doing, like, this sort of, like, golden age screwball comedy sort of, like, tone to it, you know, which has been a lot of fun. Not my preference.
Right, but...
But it works, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, my fiance, Brittany, loves it. Like, mm-hmm. it's one of her favorite shows. She's got the biggest crush on Haley Atwell and Agent Carter.
America does, man. She's... I get it.
Yeah, no, I totally get
she's
it.
She's adorable, and she, yeah. like her whole presence online seems
she's,
great.
She's a shining beacon,
yeah.
I think, of hope.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then dreams and fairness, I think.
Fair.
And just frivolity and
it's
fun.
It's a good pitch.
But frivolity in a good way.
All right,
I know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. Like, we'll have to wait to see what the ratings look like for Agent Carter to really say anything about that. But hopefully that's not what happens. I think she could do both.
I think as long as they get to the founding of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the natural endpoint for Agent Carter,
yeah.
I'll be satisfied whether we get two or three seasons.
Yeah. Like, if season two ends with, and that's how S.H.I.E.L.D. was born, I'll be like, man, well, I wanted a season three, but I'm satisfied with the ending.
I'd rather have a show of a good closure than go on forever. I'm using Breaking Bad again, but I'd rather Breaking Bad be the 5 years it was that was good than have 8 years and it go, like, 3 years of, like, Jesse and Walt walking through the desert. Like, I'm really glad. I'd rather have it be right.
All
right.
Before we get into Deadpool, do either one of you have questions, anything you want to say about any other news?
Going back to Ant-Man's role in Civil War, I know that there is an image of the upcoming Lego sets from the movie that will confirm some...
Mm-hmm. There's a fan actually tweeted another thing that when we get to our Merry Marvelites in about 20 minutes, we'll talk about... But yeah, there have been a couple other toy leaks.
Yeah, they're not very careful about that.
Yeah, yeah. But they seem to be pointing the way towards Giant Man, which again I'm so excited for.
Yeah, dude.
Anything else? Because we're jumping on. But you speak now.
This is
because you're not going to get a word in when Coy starts talking Deadpool.
Totally irrelevant. But going back to the Super Bowl, you mentioned that the Broncos are our team. I just want to say, Team Cap is my team.
Yeah. Oh, all right, that's fair.
Thank you.
That's good. That's good. Applaud yourselves. Applaud yourselves. Very good.
This is why I love this man.
all right. Well, Coy. Deadpool.
It's today.
You're going to go get some chimichangas in about an hour.
I'm leaving here.
About 40 minutes.
My bike got real mad at me, and it's been a whole thing. So I've been walking all over the valley, and it's 90 degrees in L.A. I've had quite the quest, but... It has prepared me for chimichangas like nothing else could.
I can't imagine.
Across the desert with the sun beating down, yearning for chimichangas, knowing Deadpool is at the end of my path. Nothing will stop me today.
Jeez.
I am so excited.
So traumatic.
Dude, it's Deadpool day.
Not judging.
11 years I've waited for this film. 11 years. I read the most recent draft as of 5 years ago, and I've not touched any since. I've wanted to go into it as as well as I could. It's changed so much from what I've seen in the trailers. Every ad stayed. They did it. It's out today. There wasn't an ad that I experienced that was, like, too
spoiler-ish,
revealing.
Yeah.
At one point, there was the action set piece where they showed a little more than I wanted to with, like, the tank going over mm-hmm. and him saving it. And there's been a few, like, lines of dialogue I didn't want to hear. But, like, I probably only know 6 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
At most. I've watched at least...
Yeah, it really is.
I've spent at least 8 hours watching those 6 minutes. But the fact that it's only those 6 minutes is amazing. So, Fox, thank you.
Yes.
You did it.
Well, Fox and Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller.
Yeah,
like, all
Ryan Reynolds
guys,
on the
really.
Front of Fox, just like, no, too much. Scale it back.
Scale it back, yeah. They didn't Doomsday it.
Yeah,
they didn't Doomsday. There was no Doomsday where there was no Vision sort of moment, like,
nothing,
where you're just
man.
Like... That's what Vision looks like. That's cool. Okay, yeah. Now I'm excited. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what Doomsday.
So my mom works at a movie theater in Georgia, and she saw it last night because they screened it beforehand.
Oh my god!
And then she watched our thing on Screen Junkies, and she was like, "Wait, I thought you hadn't seen it yet." And I was like, "No, I haven't." And she's like, "Oh, it sounds like you're describing the movie." So apparently it is so accurate that we, in describing Deadpool, describe
yes,
the movie. So that's in itself, right?
Come on. Like we, that's awesome.
So in itself, knowing that we described the comic and what we wanted from the movie and that's what it is, that means they did that right. Like everything just excites me more.
That's so awesome.
Dude, and every, like, all the Ryan Reynolds running around doing publicity stuff, like, they had the interviews at a pool table. Like, that's awesome. Yes!
That's so awesome. I love it.
I'm so excited. The Chimichanga stuff, the Super Bowl ad didn't give us anything more. That was another thing I was worried about. I was afraid the Super Bowl ad would suddenly be like, and here's the movie! And they didn't. They just had the 15 seconds of the stuff we'd seen and 15 seconds of fun.
Well,
yeah, man.
So first of all, as of a couple of days ago, I don't know what it's at today, but it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes mm-hmm. as of a couple days ago.
It's at 81 now.
Is it 81?
It's certified fresh. They tweeted a picture from the tomatoes into it.
Okay. So I pulled a couple of them. The Wrap said it's a film that's amused with itself, but thanks to a screwball screenplay by Rhett Reiss and Paul Wernick and a charmingly snarky lead by Ryan Reynolds, that amusement is both thoroughly earned and completely contagious. Cinema Blend said Deadpool is a blissfully unique and hilarious action-packed blockbuster that stands as one of the best big-screen superhero origin stories that we've had the pleasure of seeing.
Nice.
That's a good one. Slant Magazine, the whiplash contrasts between snideness and sincerity are deeply rooted in the main character's psychology. And Chris Stuckman said justice has finally been done to the merc with a mouth. Is it the next Citizen Kane? No. Is it the perfect Deadpool movie? Absolutely, you bet.
Yeah.
So...
Can I just the fact that these are movie reviewers, these are not comic fans, the fact that we exist in a world where a professional movie reviewer mm-hmm. said merc with the mouth
mm-hmm.
that's something Ryan Reynolds has dreamed of for like mm-hmm. 11 years. That's something that I've wanted for like 11 years. That's something that like comic fans since 91, this month is the 25th anniversary of Deadpool. That's why they're releasing it now. 25 years of this character and a mainstream movie reviewer is saying merc with the mouth.
It's
I saw
amazing.
Regenerating Degenerate in an interview and I was like, what?
Well,
the world is ours.
Yeah,
it's finally happened. Benny Quinn at Benny Quinn 10. One of our fans saw Deadpool last night. Here's his review. It was everything I wanted and more. Ryan Reynolds was extraordinary in it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, he produced it. He helped the advertising. Like, he loves this character more than I've ever seen anyone love a character. Like, like I said, this is the last time I'll ever have not seen Deadpool, and I couldn't be more excited. So,
yeah.
As long as it doesn't Matrix Reloaded me, man, I'm good. Like, as long as I don't go into it.
It doesn't sound like it's going to.
I don't think it can.
Yeah. So, Colt Badeau, super fan, Colt Badeau. Asked, how much will Deadpool make at the box office? What do you think? By the way, he also wanted to point out that he's currently missing the live show right now to see it, which means he's probably watching it right now.
It's the one excuse, Colt.
That's the only reason.
Deadpool and Doctor Strange. That's it. The rest, you got to be here. I don't care if X-Men Apocalypse is out, you're here.
Wow.
Sorry, Colt. You're one of us. You're the fifth chair. I think it'll make... Okay, opening weekend, it's tracking well.
So here are the predictions. Have you guys seen the predictions for the box office?
No.
Low end 65, high end 70. So that's like the prediction.
Okay.
Is 65 to 70. It cost $50 million production, which means that his P&A was probably about 25. So it's probably about
75
million like negative to clear. So if it does 70 million.
Opening weekend. They're already working on the sequel.
Working on the sequel.
Virtually no matter what that's happening.
Which means that Fox is happy with it.
Right. And I'd like the sequel to keep under $100 million budget. I really would like the sequel to be where it needs to be.
Yeah. Deadpool needs to be done on a budget. It doesn't need to be a giant thing.
I'd like it to cost, because the comics are like that.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the cost of the next one. We're talking about what's the box office going to be.
I'm going to call it at 77.
Wow. Wow.
I'm going to give 77. I think it's going to surprise people. I think it'll do really well tonight. I think it'll do really well Friday. I think word of mouth will get it Saturday. And then I think a lot of people, like you, will be seeing it Valentine's Day. And that's where a lot of movies don't come in. Like, Sunday is not as usually like as big of a punch.
Yeah.
So I think it'll have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which will give it four days of sex.
Also, yeah, because of the, what is, it's a President's Day on Monday.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. So it's a 4-day weekend.
Oh, yeah. Or I'd say
three-day weekend. Yeah.
$69 or $77 million. I'd like it to make either of those two numbers. Those are my goals. Nothing in between, 69 or 77.
I don't know that it'll break 70.
All right, that's fair.
Like, I want it to.
No.
I want it to do 100.
$250 million. I want it to beat Avengers.
But just like looking at it, like, empirically, I think it'll get close to 70. But okay. I don't think it'll break.
Maybe
that's
make
my
69.
Opinion. That's my opinion. So just a little bit of news about Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds really wants an X-Force movie.
Mm-hmm.
Comicbook.com is making the claim that they know from a source that is unnamed. Why would they name it? That Cable is definitely going to be in the next one. That feels a little bit off just because they haven't even written the script yet.
Well, they said
they're
tried.
Just working on it. They tried with this one.
And they also tried to put them in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So it makes sense if they have those.
Fox definitely wants them. I think they definitely want it because they're really trying to make like the New Mutants and the X-Force movies happen. So I really think that they're trying to squeeze Cable in however they can. And Cable makes absolute perfect sense to
have an R-rated side universe in your PG-13 X-Men universe makes a lot of sense. Have an R-rated mercenary team, have Smoke and Aces type movie also starring Ryan Reynolds.
Well, and what's fun about that is if you first meet Cable in Deadpool, then you get Cable with a sense of humor by proxy of Deadpool.
Right. The
Cable,
straight man.
Cable has no sense of humor, and that's what makes it so fun to put him up against Deadpool.
Right.
You know, it's Laurel and Hardy, it's Moe with the other two Stooges, you know,
right.
it's like get over here, like boink, you know, it's that, and it's perfect. You know, like, Cable hates Deadpool.
Right. They're stuck together.
But Deadpool is, like, such a loyal, like, he loves Cable.
Yeah.
And we don't know why.
The actor's got to be cast perfect. That's really hard casting.
Yeah.
I mean,
Have you guys seen... Somebody made some fan art of John Hamm.
John Hamm.
That one's going around.
Looks surprisingly good.
Looks really good.
Yeah,
I've been saying Michael Bean
from Aliens.
Michael Bean would be amazing
because he's got the military type flavor. He's wearing the red age. He's grizzled.
Yeah,
like he's a great actor, but he's also like he hasn't been around a lot. And I like lately, like last 10 years, I'd like an actor that someone doesn't associate with someone else.
Yeah,
I'd like it to be like Don Draper got gray hair. Like I want it to be like if I know he could do it. So that's my vote. And Stephen Lang is also always tossed around. I think he'd be good too.
Yeah. So let's see. Ryan Reynolds said, in the future, I think we're doing a bunch more Deadpool movie, or if we're doing a bunch more Deadpool movies, we're going to really explore the X-Men a lot, and maybe X-Force. Then he goes on to say, X-Force is really my priority. I really want to get that in.
Yeah. Dude, Dark Avengers. I mean, I really want, the comic Dark Avengers, but a dark type of Avengers.
Like, yeah, it's a dark X-Men. It's like their hit squad. Like,
perfect. And John Hamm would be good too, by the way. I want him. I think you would. I've just, my preferences. I think X-Force would be fantastic, especially if Suicide Squad does well.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a really good indicator of like
X-Force and Suicide Squad are
similar flavors.
Like, I mean, well, Thunderbolts would be more along the lines of
no, of course, like
technically, Suicide Squad,
but,
like,
the
technically,
ones that have been,
but yeah,
the ones that are in progress, because we need Deadpool and X-Force, so that's a great trajectory. And if this does well, I've been saying soft reboot for 6 months, I think it'll create an entirely new Fox universe.
Yeah. And let me also throw this out, and that is the screenwriters, Rhett Reese and is it Paul Wernick? I know it's Wernick is the last name.
I think it's Paul. Yeah.
Talking about Cable, yes, absolutely. I think those are characters who are near and dear to Deadpool fans' hearts, and characters we would like to explore down the line if we're so fortunate to have the sequels. Cable is one that we will absolutely visit if we're allowed to keep moving forward with multiple movies. We've always wanted to honor the fans first, so the fans' favorite characters, that means a lot to them. We will take a good, long, hard look at them.
That's awesome.
So, and they want to try and really do an ensemble piece in the next film. So
get Bob in there, get Cable in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think they can get.
It could be Agent, Bob, Agent of.
Agent of Hellfire Club.
Yeah, like, that's true. Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. Just a guy named Bob.
Yeah, I don't know that you're getting Bob, Agent of Hydra, in there unless they make a deal. But then that means that the Fox stuff is all part of the Marvel universe.
Disney's got that money.
Disney's got that money. Dude, they've got $2 billion just from Age of Ultron and Star Wars.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I think Fox can really do something with this Deadpool. I really think that can they can create their own competitive universe if this does as well as I hope it does.
Yeah, so Fox is already working on the Deadpool sequel. The script has already been greenlit. The writers are already writing it. And Fox is intent on keeping the entire creative team
Beautiful.
Together. Because the creative team is why it happened. I mean, like, Fox was like, we don't know.
Yeah, they pushed.
Someone leaked. Yeah. And I found this very cool, and I just wanted to touch on it. Ryan Reynolds is not afraid for Deadpool to have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, I think
fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because
that's his character all the way.
Yeah, because Deadpool is pansexual,
yeah.
I believe is the phrase. And he's Ryan Reynolds talking about that says, I love that about Deadpool. I love that he can break any boundary. In the future, I hope we get to do that more. He said, and then like referencing like Deadpool's monogamous relationship with Vanessa, he's like, why can't he have a boyfriend? He said, like, he certainly wouldn't be the guy standing in the way of doing that. That would be great. So,
bravo.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, that's so awesome. Cool. Like, that's yeah, Deadpool's got a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Like, he's, like, whatever.
And we haven't
like,
had a mainstream comic character like that. Or
even yeah. close. Nothing yeah. close to that.
At least not in the films. Like, Angel, like, just came out and the X-Men.
Iceman.
You're right. Iceman.
But
Iceman
movie,
has a
like,
crush on Angel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lastly, on Deadpool, and we can talk about it, you know, for another couple minutes if you'd like, but there are two post-credit scenes.
Awesome.
So, like, the screeners at the press have seen and everything else, there was one, and everyone was like, oh, there's a post-credits, yes! but Rhett Reese and Rob Liefeld both tweeted out, no, there's two.
Yeah!
There's two. And, in fact, they're referring to them as codas.
Interesting. Never heard that expression.
Which, to me... seems like it's like an add-on, like an actual narrative add-on to the movie that we just watched. Hmm. So, where like the other stuff that they do with the Marvel movies is like, oh yeah, and then there's also this. get excited for this next movie.
Right.
It feels like this is like, so Deadpool. Oh, by the way, also a little bit more Deadpool. Oh, also a little bit more Deadpool. Like
yeah.
it feels like that's what a coda means to me. So. But yeah, like, what do you, any opinions on what the...
I think it'll be the most fourth wall breaking-y thing in the film. I think it'll be him, like, asking people to leave the theater. I think it might be something like, I think it'll be this minimal, I think the middle one will be story related, like the middle one, and the last one might just be snarky funny.
I think the last one's going to have Wolverine. I really, really, really think Hugh Jackman will probably
yeah.
make, like, a very quick appearance, and Deadpool will be like, you know what, screw you. Except, like, worse. Like
oh,
worse
I'm so that. Excited, man.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
I think that's probably what it is. Anyway, Coy, this is your moment.
This
what,
is the
what
last
else, what
time.
Else, what
I
else do you want to say?
It's the
because
last time I can
we've
say.
We've got to go talk to our Mary Marvelites. What else do you want to say?
I'm just going to end it cleanly, but this is the last time I can mention Deadpool not having seen the film.
What?
And I want to thank... everyone all over the world that has tweeted at me that's seen it before I have for not spoiling a single thing and for thanking me for introducing them without ruining anything. You guys have all been amazing. We found a corner of the internet that likes comics that aren't trolls.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that existed. So
yeah.
Thank you.
You fans are amazing.
You guys
like,
are the
we love
best
all of
fans
you so
in the
much.
World. Like every tweet I get with a picture of a comic, especially Deadpool, everyone that's seeing these things and like asking me questions or saying they've seen the movie and loved it and they thought of me during it. Thank you. And thank you for not spoiling it. And I am excited to see it going into it how I want to. And you guys could have messed that up. And you did it. You didn't come close. But you made me even more excited somehow because I know I made you excited. So thank you for giving me that gift. You're amazing.
Bravo. Bravo.
So excited, man.
Bravo. Well, let's move on to our fans.
That's my closing.
Let's do it. No, that's good.
Deadpool.
That's beautiful. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, real quick, just 4 minutes ago, Olivier Brussel, at Ollie 1991 said that he went to Deadpool yesterday, and it's amazing, and it's the best opening day for a superhero in Belgium since ever.
Awesome.
But it's looking good. So
fantastic.
So let's see here. So we've got a question from Jay Soppy at Jay Soppy. James Gunn has said Guardians will not set up Infinity War. So which films will and how?
Everything else.
I think
Guardians
Thor Ragnarok is going to be the big one. That's because I think Doctor Strange will kind of maybe dabble in it, but Doctor Strange is also like pulling a lot of heavyweight,
right,
just introducing
right.
the mystic side and like this crazy wackadoo character that I happen to love.
Right.
But like 99% of the world is like, who was?
You gotta get a lot of information.
You know,
there.
So there's already so much heavy lifting with that film that
Black
I can't
Panther
imagine.
Too, actually, Black Panther's gonna have a lot of heavy lifting. It's a lot of story. Black Panther's a super rich character.
He's a super rich character, but I think his story is a little bit more accessible than Doctor Strange.
Accessible, certainly. I just hope they do justice.
I actually think that between Black Panther and Thor, that's what we're going to see a lot of setup for Infinity War.
I just got a question from the audience.
Please
do we feel
please
good about
do.
That? Okay. Yeah. The difference between X-Force and X-Factor. Someone asked who X-Force was. Someone followed up with X-Factor and X-Force. X-Factor was like the original team of X-Men reunited. It was the original five. It was like sale. It was from a business standpoint, sales were good for the original team and not as good for the regular teams. They made two teams. In a story standpoint, it was a way for the original team to reunite and take on Apocalypse for the first time.
So what happened was in the X-Men title. So here's a very brief history. The X-Men title was not selling well. It actually never sold well when it first came out in the 60s. It was like one of the worst selling books as far as I remember.
They reissued the same issues and different titles and kept the numbering.
They just kept numbering.
There's
but they
like 40 issues that are the 40 issues before with new covers on them.
Like sometime around like issue somewhere around the 40s or 50s, they were like, these aren't selling, but we still want to keep the title going because they sell a little bit. So
they just renumbered them and kept going.
Yeah.
I collect. It's awful. As a collector, it's really bad because I'm like, oh good, I'm going to spend more money on that same issue.
But then, they stopped publishing it. Then there was a Hail Mary in the 70s, written by Lynn Wein. I can't remember who drew it.
Can't either, but that man Wolverine.
Maybe Cochrane. I want to say Cochrane, but I'm probably wrong. Called Giant Size X-Men Number 1, where they said, hey, you know, like all these like X-Men characters, like if you look at them, they're all white.
Yeah.
Like they're all white. They're all like perfect little teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, but they're supposed to be like outcasts, but they're all white. Let's change that up. Let's throw in like an actual African queen. Let's throw in a Native American. Let's throw in a German guy who's blue and furry and demon-like.
Let's throw in a Russian beast man who's a painter and very sensitive but looks
a
like
poet,
a tank.
Yeah. And then,
just Canadian guy. Crazy little scrapper.
Yeah. And so Wolverine had been 181 and he wasn't a mutant. He was just a dude who had claws on his hands, but they liked him so much and the fan response was so favorable that they were like, you know, we never actually explained the claws on his hand. Let's say that he's a mutant.
Because people like
him. And snicked, they pop out. And we'll put him with the X-Men. And that's because Lynn Wein created him with Hulk 181.
Right.
And he was taking on Giant Size X-Men. So they completely redefine who the X-Men are in a lot of ways with that one issue. And then that becomes the team all the way through the 80s for the most part.
And they're great. And people pop in and out.
You know, people came in and out, like Banshee kind of joined up and went around.
A lot of new cool characters.
Yeah. And then... oh God! When sometime 83? In the mid '80s ish, X Factor comes in,
and that's the original
X Factor is the original team who were like, hey, you know what? Like we're ready to come back into action. Mm-hmm. Like they would make appearances in those like '70s and '80s issues of the X Men, but not as much. And then so X Factor comes in. Then in the '90s, I think it was the second volume of X Factor where they become a government funded team led by Havoc.
Right. Cyclops' brother.
Yeah, Cyclops' brother, Alex Summers. And then there's also, so there was Havoc, there was Polaris, Multiple Man, another one of my top five characters, Jamie Madrox.
Madrox, thank you.
Yeah, Yeah.
So that's X-Factor. X-Force, in short, is a team that's willing to do all the things the X-Men won't do.
They're more or less mercenaries. Yeah.
So Archangel, Wolverine, Deadpool are like the current iteration, I believe.
The original one was out of the New Mutants, and that was Wolfsbane, Cable, Cannonball.
Cannonball.
I love
Sam
Guthrie.
Great,
he's a great character. Warpath, I think, was on that original team. Shatterstar, the interdimensional mutant.
I don't remember
X-Force
as well as you do.
Yeah, with the double swords, the double-bladed swords. Yeah. Oh, man, I love that toy.
So they're very different teams, very different purposes. The one good thing about X-Men is while they pander to sell 20 titles a month, most of them have a different flavor. So when Extreme X-Men was out and Uncanny X-Men was out, X-Men the Jim Lee run was out, which is brilliant. Any of those titles, they do have a different type of essence and a different team, and usually starring Wolverine.
So let's go with Kyle Summer. At Kyle Summer asked, what's the lineup for X-Force? So he said, Deadpool, Psylocke, and Cable seem to be likely, and maybe we can get Jackman back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get Wolverine in it.
I think
Wolverine's done.
Yeah.
Like, we might get, like, a younger iteration of Wolverine. Like, if they bring in, like, an X-23 kind of thing, I think that would be a smart move on Fox to start establishing that.
Ooh,
and
I
X-Force
like
could be a really cool way to
X-23
do that.
Because
she
right
is, like,
so good.
Yeah. And she's kind of, like, a more devastating character that shouldn't be on the X-Men team, I think. So that would be cool, but I don't think they're going to do that as much as I would actually very legitimately love
to
see X-23. And to just take on the mantle of Wolverine like she did in the comics. Like, yeah, screw it. She's Wolverine.
Man, that's cool.
Like, why can't she be Wolverine? Yeah. X-23, screw that. She's Wolverine. I love that. So that would be cool. I don't think we're going to get that. I do think we'll get Domino in X-Force because, she's so connected to Deadpool's story. I think we'll get Domino, who has, like, luck-altering, like, probability-altering
like
powers.
Like Black Cat kind
of. So we'll probably get her. We'll definitely get Cable. I think we'll probably get Warpath. I think he's an easy character to throw in there. We've kind of already seen iterations of him.
Mm-hmm.
I really think we'll get Cannonball because the team needs to have someone who can fly because those sequences are awesome.
And it looks so cool to see
it looks so
like
cool.
Yeah.
It looks so cool, especially because he has the power to create, like, a blast field around him and become, like, an actual
he's
guided missile.
He's nigh invulnerable when he's blasting.
Yep. Nigh invulnerable. Good way to put it. Yep. like you memorize it from the back of a car like I did. I think that would be cool.
That would be who I'd like to see. That sounds a great team. I just hope it happens soon.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm missing a couple here and there, but
people are saying Guido and Strongman.
Oh my god, I would love to see Guido. Oh my god, I would love just like this weird hulking.
Those would be the other.
Oh my god, I
think
Guido's is only. I don't know that he has a last name. I can't. I only know it as
Guido.
Yeah,
I only know it as that. So yeah, those two.
Yeah.
Those are iconic.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Okay, this one is all on you.
Okay.
Because I'm so bad at this.
Uh-oh.
Tony Sherrod at Tormetheus says, "Hey, Marvel Movie News, I love the podcast." We love you too, Tony. Or Tori. "Listening while randomly watching House, could you fan cast Hugh Laurie in the MCU?" The MCU, not Fox. MCU.
Hugh Laurie.
So, like, Avengers characters... maybe like a Spider-Man character. Do you need a minute to talk about this while I go on to other things?
Yes.
Okay. You spin on Hugh Laurie, and it's just going to be the three of us.
Norman Osborn.
Wow. Okay.
I think he'd be a really cool Norman Osborn. I think he'd like.
Yeah, okay.
He has that like compassion to the public, and he can seem likable, but he's super evil underneath. I think he has that businessman thing.
Yeah.
I think Hugh Laurie is a very darkness that needs to be. Yeah, I'd say Norman Osborn.
Okay, I'm on board. There you go, Tori. Do you guys have any opinions on that? Because I'm so bad at fan casting, I'm not even going to try.
That sounds good to me. I had thought maybe Dr. Connor or the Lizard.
Oh,
did a lizard,
I like that too.
I could see that too.
That would be really
something
good.
Something in the same vein, same reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really good. Good pull. All right, let's go to... this is Skibidibop Doom. We're going to need your help on this because we had some fans tweet some pictures at us. First of all, the Civil War... Max Heron, at Max Heron, said, "The Civil War Build-A-Figure is Giant Man. Oh my God." Spoiler. So it's confidential. And again, that goes along with the Legos thing. I said we were going to show this earlier. So you know how, like, they'll do a Build-A-Figure a lot of times where they'll be like, "Hey, here's this figure. And by the way, here's, like, a random..."
Hulkbuster's arm.
Yeah, like, here's a left leg, you know, to Odin.
Sweet.
So it seems like that's what they're doing with this. Is they're going to do a Build-A-Man, Build-A-Figure with Giant Man. And in that set, I can't remember exactly, but I know they've got Captain America. I can see Nuke. From Jessica Jones that we just saw with the American flag on his face. I think maybe Fury's in there, like the white Nick Fury, the original Nick Fury. So it seems like it's a very Avengers heavy, MCU heavy group.
Cool.
So it again, Giant Man, that's entire set is not really connected to the MCU in any way. Yeah. It's not official figures for them, but the fact that they have Giant Man coming out is, I think,
it's Strong Guy, not Strong Man. I was corrected. I realized I was very wrong.
Wait,
I think I said Strong Man.
Did you really?
Someone said I did. I know it's Strong Guy. I'm sorry, it's Strong Guy.
Oh,
so many angry live chatters.
That's so funny. I didn't even hear you say that.
Strong Guy.
Try his proper name.
Yes, Strong Guy.
Yeah.
His Christian name, Robin, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Guido the Strong Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? He can turn kinetic energy used on him into super strength.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
kinda
if you punch him, he just gets stronger.
Right, like Bishop, but instead of a gun, it's him.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you want to do shout-outs for my teams?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
So we have a few, and they were awesome. Mr. Poop Magoo, I think I got you last week, but I wasn't sure, and you're on the cusp, so I wanted to get you. Jay Batistella, interesting name. I like it. Very friendly. Chaz Voltaire, thank you for your kind words. Core 1978, thank you for watching and listening. Weakness, spelled very crazy and neo-ish, I think that's how you say it. He just got into Ultimate Spider-Man through this, and he didn't know Miles Morales existed.
So oh, that's awesome!
We introduced him to Miles Morales. So
he's great. Miles Morales he's a great character.
Bendis' new Miles is... really glad to do that for you. Wonder Rob said it's like sitting around with good friends, and I'm glad we could do that.
What was his name?
Wonder Rob.
Wonder Rob. We agree.
Sit and discuss rumors and such with your friends. Yeah. That's our goal, man. That's so our glad goal. We accomplished that. And lastly, Psionic Lex... Thank you very much. Reading comics for 15 years. Welcome to this. Did anyone hear any of that? I was leaning
so
back, all excited.
You're so
like,
far away from the mic.
It's the gangster lean. It's Deadpool day. I get
it. Why don't you do what I do with your computer and like behind the microphone?
I hope you all heard that. I hope you all heard it because it's all from love. I was overwhelmed by love. I had to lean back.
I want to throw this back. Sean McCann at Sean McCann 12 said that he saw Deadpool last Tuesday.
Whoa!
And here's his review. It's awesome and hilarious. I genuinely feel that it will be really hard to top it.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. So we've got a couple quick shout outs. I've got a couple more pictures actually. Let's get through those real quick. Nicholas Frank at you know who 642. Just in case you have not seen this yet, and he has a picture of Deadpool vandal-like doing some graffiti on Superman there. Then we've got Joey Harrison at Joey H 1984 who says, I need a DeLorean to see the movie already because he wants to go into the future to see it because this is like from a couple days ago. And it's Wolverine and Deadpool, but like. Legos.
Yeah.
So, and that's a fun picture. We'll show that in a second. And then finally, only Pacino for Ego. Say hello to my little friend. And that is from Brian Sursaul. And then he's got the picture of Pacino on Ego. And I love it. Say hello to my little friend.
Yes,
I love
that's
it.
Fantastic.
Let's do some quick shout outs. Ghost Rider UK at Zarathos Cosplay. Ghost Rider UK retweeted Marvelous. There was a poll on the Popcorn Talk website, and Ghost Rider UK and at Marvelous both retweeted that saying like, hey, go vote for Marvel Movie News. So thanks for doing that.
That's
we
awesome.
Appreciate that. And everyone else, go vote for Marvel Movie News. JJ Johnson at Actor J says he got to watch us live today. We've also got Sophie Lee Burke, who's finally watching us live for the first time. Welcome
finally,
to both of you guys.
Oh,
welcome. Let's see. The Rock is Black Bolt. Mitchell Smith. I'm so on board.
Yeah,
I'm
dude,
so on board
day.
For that. Thank you, Mitchell Smith, at MitchBeth2005. Great name. And Jasper Elwes wants us to remind everyone that he's got his radio show and that we should find him online. So he's
absolutely.
At J. Elwes.
We had a couple birthdays, didn't we?
We did. I'm getting Dallas Stumler at Dallas J. Stumler says Anna Kendrick as Squirrel Girl and Gerard Butler as Hercules. I love that.
Cool.
Like,
into it?
I'm more on Anna Kendrick as Squirrel Girl. I think she would
she'd
like Gerard Butler would be a great Hercules, but I'm just very excited to see a Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, she'd be great.
We also have this tweet that just came out from Brian Trotter at 40-some geek.
Yes.
Not just friends, and he said that that's Deadpool's boyfriend.
There's the magic.
And now let's, we've got to wind it down. Sorry, we're going a little bit long. At Joey H. 1984. So it was my birthday on the 9th and was wondering if I could get a belated shout out.
Yeah, happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday. Also, Liam Fulcher at Liam F. 1402 says, can I please have a shout out on the show? It's my 16th birthday on Valentine's Day. Happy 16th,
man. Valentine's Day, you're going to clean up.
You've got your whole life ahead of you, kid. You've got
like
a good life.
50
you got
years of good Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
nicely done,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
Good parenting.
And finally, one of our super fans who tweets at us all the time. Sent us a lot of lovely messages. Langley M. Neely, at Langley M. Neely. My birthday was the 8th of February. Wanted to know if I could get a B-Day shout-out on my favorite podcast ever. He's 36.
Happy 36,
Happy 36,
man.
Langley. You are about the same age as me.
Yeah.
I'm 37, so we're about the same age. You must have been born in 1979, is my guess.
Young.
You're youngin'. But Langley, you and me. You and me, we're in this together, man.
I turned 25 on the 6th.
You're super
of this month?
Yep.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Shout out.
Everybody give Marissa Harris a big happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Woo-hoo. Happy birthday. Skylar, when's your birthday?
January 1st.
Oh, happy birthday, New Year's baby!
How
exciting. All right. We've got to wind down.
Yes.
So, where can people find you?
BigBraveSky.com, at BigBraveSky.
Facebook, Marissa Denae Harris.
Great. And you guys are going to be moving, so we should be looking for you on the big screen someday. Yes. And you're going to be a writer, so we should be listening for your words. Koi, what do you got going on? Tell us real fast.
Screen Junkie stuff. We should keep an eye on.
Yeah.
We just did a Deadpool thing, which is live today, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
We retweeted that earlier, and you can also watch it on the Screen Junkie stuff. We sat down with Hal Rudnick and explained Deadpool to him.
It was awesome.
A couple days ago, and it came out this morning.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah. Last night I did a watch along and watched Green Lantern, which was a lesson.
It's a wreck. It's a terrible thing.
Time. And then on Friday, I'm going to be on Matt Rob's show doing something Friday morning at like 10 a.m.
Oh, nice.
So all over that Screen Junkies.
Oh, the Smosh guys?
Yeah, Smosh guys. Yeah. So everyone that's tweeted at Screen Junkies recommending I'd go there, it's working. Thank you. I love that place. So thank you.
Yeah. I produce the Kevin Smith show, Fat Man on Batman. That's on his YouTube, which is Kevin Smith. You can also listen to the podcast, or you should at least be able to, you're supposed to be able to. And that's... That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I think I'm good. I think that's all I need to say this week. Anyway, that's our show. Thank you so much for joining us. Go enjoy Deadpool this weekend. Tell us what you think of it. And please don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes. It's Marvel Movie News. Do the same thing on YouTube. Again, Marvel Movie News. Subscribe to our show there. All the subscriptions we get
just helps us
keep coming back to you. And if we can get even more subscriptions, we can start going to... into events and stuff like that we can tell you guys about. So.
Also, if you're going to see Deadpool today and you happen to live in LA, I'm going to be seeing the Burbank 7 o'clock show at AMC 16. I'd love to meet some of you guys. So mini kind of meetup thing. If you guys want to show up there, we'll share the Deadpool love together.
And who doesn't want to go see Deadpool with a super fan like Koi?
I'm going to be real loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome.
So you can find us on Facebook, / Marvel News Show. You can also find us on Twitter, @ Marvel News PTN. I am Matt Key.
I'm Koi Jandro, @ Koi Jandro.
@ the Matt Key. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Skip it out. Skip it out.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principal.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.